too much. Side 2, take number 3.
I think she has enjoyed it. Haven't you, Mrs. Ellen?
I hope so. Anyway, continue with the letter June 16th, mailed from Karachi. We should be back home in about 2 weeks from now or about the end of June. We are spending one day here today for minor adjustments to engine and plane. We received word this morning that reports in the States have said we had crashed. How such a rumor would materialize is beyond me because we have had no trouble whatsoever. Everything has been perfect. Well, sweetheart, I wonder how you are. Well and happy, I hope. While it is 11 p.m. here, it is only 9:30 a.m. in Oakland, so I imagine you are in the shop and busy as a bee. I wish I were there, too, in Oakland, I mean. I love my little sweetheart more and more each day, and I'll be so happy when you and I are together again. Give my love to Irene, and remember me to Miss Armstrong and everybody in the shop. Miss you terribly, honey. Fred. Union Telegram, FAB-137F, Bandung, 2421, received 424 13th Street, Oakland, California, NLT, Noon, Mrs. F.J. Noonan, 337 Lakeshore, DELR, Oakland, California, Route JD, received 1937, June 22nd, AM 925, Gao, Fort Lamy, Al-Fashar, Khartoum, Massawa, Assab, Karachi, Calcutta, Akyab, Rangoon, Bangkok, Singapore, forward to Palette. Love to you and Irene, Fred. I wonder what forward to Palette means. Graham from FAB 6114 via RCA, Lae, L-A-E-N-G, New Guinea, 30/1400, received 424 13th Street, Oakland, California, 1937, June 30th, AM 550, LC Noon, equals Mrs. F.J. Noonan, Oakland, California, 3337 Lakeshore, Surabaya, Copang, Darwin, Howland, tomorrow. Love to you and Irene, Fred. Lae, New Guinea, Surabaya, Copang, Howland. Here's a picture taken in, this is taken in Bandung and Surabaya in front of the Nash. And here's Mr. Fellow that did all the instrument work for them in Surabaya. And
she recognizes people from having seen other pictures.
Oh, Miss Earhart. Miss Maggie Earhart. She has the camera. She has something in her hand. I can't quite figure out what it is. Okay, here's a letter from Bandung, Java, dated June 22nd, 1936, Grand Hotel Preanger, P-R-E-A-N-G-E-R, Bandung, B-A-N-D-O-E-N-G. B, dearest, how's my sweetheart today? I have just awakened and dressed. But although it is only 6:45 in the morning here in Java, it is 3:45 in the afternoon in Oakland, and so you must already have received my cablegram of last night. We arrived here yesterday forenoon after an uneventful 4 hours and 25 minute flight from Singapore. Since my last cable to you, we have visited Al-Fashar and Khartoum, Anglo-British Sudan, Massawa and Assab, Italian Eritrea, Karachi and Calcutta, India, Akyab and Rangoon, Burma, Bangkok, Siam, and Singapore. The flight has been very pleasant with 5 fine weather, except between Akyab and Rangoon. It is the monsoon season there, and it was particularly bad while we were there. We tried 3 times before we succeeded in getting through, but we did finally. In Rangoon, we were the guests of Mr. Brady, B-R-A-D-E-Y, the American consul, and at Singapore, we were the guest of Mr. and Mrs. Monnett B. Davis, M-O-N-N-E-T-T, B as in Bravo, Davis, D-A-V-I-S. He is the American consul general to the Malay States. In both instances,
Oops, 2 pages.
Our hosts were charming and their homes beautiful. Here, for the first time since leaving Brazil, we are at a hotel, and it is marvelously modern and beautiful, and the food is really excellent. Bandung is a picturesque and charming city of approximately 50,000 inhabitants, clean as a new pin, and gorgeous in its tropical vegetation. Yesterday, Amelia and I visited Kokalbang Paho, an active volcano about 16 miles from the city. The drive was extremely beautiful and interesting. Today, we are having some instruments overhauled and will remain until tomorrow. We are driving to the capital, Batavia, to visit some friends of mine, a Mr. and Mrs. Fadden, F-A-D-D-E-N. He is manager in Java for the Standard Oil. She is a friend of mine, a U of C graduate. Her father and mother are in Berkeley, a brother in Philadelphia. They asked us down for lunch today and for sightseeing trip through the city. They are charming people, and I'll be glad to see them again. We'll close now, going to see if Amelia is awake, so we may have breakfast and then get going. I am sending all my love to my sweetheart and wife, and am longing for our return to the States, so that I may love my pretty brown-eyed girl, have my pretty brown-eyed girl in my arms again. I miss you so much, dear. Give my love to Irene, and my kind regards to Miss Armstrong and all the others in the shop. Remember me to the Noonans. Would have written them, but did not have their address. I love you, dear. Fred. Taken at Ley, New Guinea, in front of the airplane, supposedly the last picture, and it was taken June 29th, 1938. Must be on the arrival. Says in the picture are Mr. and Mrs. Oh, it says 38. I can't put that together. Mr. and Mrs. Joubert, Mr. and Mrs. Jacobs, Amelia Earhart, Captain Noonan, and Ley, New Guinea. Maybe that's when it was put in the album. Picture of Earhart and Noonan by the airplane. Okay. This is June 29th, 1937. Ley, New Guinea. All Americans. Mr. and Mrs. Joubert. All Americans. J-O-U-B-E-R-T, manager of the Bololo Gold Dredging Company, Mr. and Mrs. Jacobs, manager of New Guinea Goldfields Company, and Mrs. Putnam and Captain Noonan, taken on 29th of June. Okay, here's some more telegrams. Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, Eugene Pallette, E-U-G-E-N-E-P-A-L-L-E-T-T-E, Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, hopping off today, regards Fred Noonan. Eugene Pallette, Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. Arrived Tucson this evening. Please treat all messages in strictest confidence until advised otherwise. Regard, Fred Noonan. Eugene Pallette, Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. Arrived 2 p.m.
Is that a friend of yours?
Flew direct course across Gulf of Mexico. Fine trip. Regards, Fred Noonan. Eugene Pallette.
She wants you to read the letter.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, mm-hmm. Hollywood, California. Arrived here today. Stopped at Wildman, Texas for lunch. Regards. Arrived here today is Noonan. Stopped at Wildman, Texas for lunch. Regards, Fred Noonan. Here's Eugene Pallette, Hollywood, California. Gene, if you have a cable address, please wire it to me. Otherwise, suggest you register for one. Stop. Cost of registering for a year will be saved in single message. Stop. Expect remain here several more days. Stop. Having pleasant time except too many blondes and not enough unattached brunettes. Stop. Advised via Western Union cable as soon as possible. Reference to desk care, Columbus Hotel. Regards. May 27th.
Yeah,
just a moment. May 27th, 7:50 p.m. Fred. Dakar. This is a letter from Dakar, Senegal, French West Africa, June 9th, 1937. Letter to Mr. Eugene Paulette, Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, Hollywood, California, Estados Unidos. Dear Jean, having trouble sending messages such as I promised you, but I am doing the best I can. Facilities are not always available, and therefore I am sending over message when possible, naming stops made since the previous message. Tried to get one off last night, but some trouble developed at the cable station, as I had sent the cablegram to the cable office by messenger. I have not yet ascertained the cause of delay in transmission, but will do so later today. So far, we have had a pleasant and uneventful trip. With few exceptions, the weather has been splendid. The flight from Natal, Brazil to Africa produced the worst weather we have experienced. Heavy rain and dense clouds formations necessitated blind flying for 10 of the 13 hours we were in flight. To add to our woes, the African coast was enveloped in thick haze, rendering objects invisible at distances over a half a mile when we made the landfall, and our radio was out of order. It would be in such a jam. However, with our usual good luck, if not good guidance, we barged through okay. We anticipate taking off for Niamey, French Niger, Central Africa tomorrow morning, then to Khartoum, Egypt, and Aden, Arabia. With kindest personal regards, and looking forward to a highball together in the not too distant future, I am sincerely Fred Noonan.
He's a gracious man, isn't he?
Yes.
You learn so much by listening to these things. This you'll want to keep separate from, because it's not to her, it's to somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Mr. L.C. Paulette, P-A-L-L-E-T-T-E, Hollywood, Rosa Delta, Surabaya, Copang, Darwin, Howland, tomorrow, regards, Noonan. L.C. Paulette, Fortaleza, Natal, Brazil, St. Louis, Dakar, French Africa, regards, Noonan. That was June 8th. The first one was June 30th, that Howland, tomorrow, regards. These were all messages to Mr. L.C. or Eugene Paulette. Okay, Pan American Picture, Pan American Airways. Oh, here's black in the Earhart light. Lighthouse Foundation Ceremony, Howland Island, South Seas, November 17, 1937. Material for building a 20-foot coral and concrete lighthouse tower was carried to Jarvis, Baker, and Howland Island, the 11th cruise to the American Equatorial Islands, aboard the Coast Guard cutter Taney. A piece of Rock of Ages granite was inscribed gratis by the Hawaii Monument Company and was carried on the expedition to be incorporated into the masonry above the doorway of the tower on Howland Island, commemorating Earhart's world flight.
So famous.
300 mm acetylene lights. 300 mm acetylene lights and all equipment for the installation and maintenance are being supplied to the U.S. Lighthouse Service. Above the stone in this photograph may be seen the blueprint plans for the tower. Officials: Commander E.A. Coffin, Coast Guard, Taney; Richard B. Black, Field Representative; Department Interior, Ernest H. Gruning, Director, Division of Territories, Island Possessions; and the Hawaiian colonists left to right are Joseph Anakalea, Solomon Kalama, William Kaina, Kenneth Lum King, Yao Fai Lum, William Tavares, and Jacob Haile. I have that picture, and I'm glad to have those names down on tape. Here are several little pictures taken at Assab.
Airstrip.
No, it is a picture taken across the airstrip. Here's a letter, October 28, 1937, from George Palmer Tupman. Dear B, I have just received a group of photographs in duplicate taken at Calcutta with a request that I forward one set to you. Here it is, sincerely, George Palmer Tupman. This was sent to Mrs. Noonan,
okay.
337 Lakeshore Avenue.
These must have been the pictures that you saw at Purdue. You turned them.
Yeah. These were all taken at
Shall
Calcutta.
Shall I give you a drink of water? Mrs. Ireland?
Okay. George P. Putnam dies at Trona, T-R-O-N-A, January 4th. George Palmer Putnam, 62, publisher, explorer, and husband of Flyer Amelia Earhart when she disappeared over the Pacific in 1937, died today at Trona Hospital. He had been ill 4 weeks, F-O-U-R, with uremic poisoning and internal hemorrhages. Born at Rye, New York, into the century-old publishing firm of G.P. Putnam & Sons, he once headed that firm, retiring in 1931. His greatest publishing triumph was that We, the story of the epic flight of Charles A. Lindbergh from New York to Paris. He paid Lindbergh $100,000 for the book. Miss Earhart, first woman to fly the Atlantic alone and holder of many women's air records, was Putnam's second wife. His first was Dorothy Binney, whom he married in 1911, and by whom he had two sons. Putnam himself, a noted explorer, had made several expeditions with Richard E. Byrd and Roy Chapman Andrews, backed many of Miss Earhart's flights and others which made aviation history. They were married in 1931, 3 years after his first marriage ended in divorce. After her disappearance on July 2nd in a flight between New Guinea and Holland, the Navy conducted a tremendous air sea search for her, sitting somewhere on the coralline. After Miss Earhart was declared legally dead in 1939, Putnam married Joanne Consigne, C-O-N-S-I-G-N-E-Y, from whom he was divorced in 1944. His widow, the former Margaret Haviland, H-A-V-I-L-A-N-D, whom he married in 1945, was at his bedside when he died. In 1939, Putnam was kidnapped from his North Hollywood home, taken to Bakersfield, and released unharmed. He reported his kidnappers tried to force him to disclose authorship of a book he was publishing, The Man Who Killed Hitler. Since then, Putnam has lived at Lone Pine and operated the Stovepipe Wells Hotel in Death Valley. Private funeral services will be held Friday at Pierce Brothers Beverly Hills Chapel, with interment in the Chapel of the Pines.
Is that odd?
Where's your card, honey?
I'll dig it out.
All the things that are happening today, there's only the people on. I don't know, there's certain people that get their names and the rest of them. Do the work, don't get them.
Great, isn't it? The people that really do the work don't get the credit.
There are some in the car, I know that.
Should have some. If not, they'll have to own the car. Why don't you get out of the car?
Okay.
I'll give you our home address on his car.
Same here. No, if they are, I don't know where. Sorry. Well, that worked out very well. I'll shut this thing up.
Wasn't it Mrs. Ireland?
Busy, busy, busy.
Well,
it's 10 minutes after 4. We've kept everybody about 4 hours longer than we intended. But it was so fascinating.
You know,
we all got wrapped up in it.
Interesting. We were taking pictures and
Mrs. Ireland was very patient with us and stayed throughout the entire 5 hours that we've been here. You stayed right with us. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I've been talking so much, and I've been working in the sun in those pictures. I'm hot, and I'm tired. And I don't understand that you're not tired. I think maybe you are. You're tougher than I am.
Thank you.